Well, good morning and welcome to Discovery Community Church. It is a glorious day outside. Amen. Beautiful. It's going to get hot later on, but we're going to start off worship today by standing and singing about another glorious day. And if you are a Jesus follower, you know the one I'm talking about. It's the day that you met Jesus, the day you decided to follow him. So if you would stand and sing with us as we begin our worship today.
I was buried beneath my shame.
Beginning to it. Have a seat. Welcome everyone to Discovery Church. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Star. I also want to not only welcome you, but I want to welcome our live streamers who are tuning in online. Let us know in the chat where you're worshiping from this morning. And it's a sunny day, isn't it? It's going to be a little toasty today. We hope you are able to stay cool today. We have a great morning for you, starting with worship, of course, and a couple other things. Right now, I want to turn your attention to our welcome folders. So if you have one, pull that out. If you're a first timer, I want to welcome you as well. This is a great morning to be a first timer. Sorry about that. So pull this out. There's a little insert in there for you to take home. It's got the events that are coming up. It also has room for you to write some notes today if you're a note taker. I know I am. There's also a connection card in there. We would love for everyone to fill out the connection card. Let us know how we can pray for you. We love to partner with you in prayer. If you're a first timer, you can write that on there. And we'll just we want to walk alongside you, get you connected to the next step. If there's something that you're interested in doing or learning more about, write it on that connection card and someone will reach out and get a hold of you. All right, well, we've got a couple events coming up. Very exciting. We have baptisms coming up this month, you guys. Woo! Yeah. June 28th, we've got baptisms right after service. If you're not really familiar or comfortable, you don't really know about baptism, really it's just kind of a symbolic expression, an outward expression of something that's happening inside, trusting your life to the Lord and being reborn from death to life, and baptism is a symbol of that. If you would like more information about that for yourself, or maybe you have a family member who's kind of been considering it, write that on your connection card. Someone will get a hold of you. I think there's also a QR code that you can use for our connection cards. If you just want to scan it with your phone and do it online, you can do it that way. But we're excited. We're excited to celebrate with those getting baptized right after service on June 28th. So keep that in mind, and let's show up for our brothers and sisters that are getting baptized. It's going to be a good day. All right, another thing that we're going to talk about, I'm going to invite David Kim up, and I'll intro him a little bit too, but there's an opportunity that David wants to tell us about called Victory Beyond the Cup, and as many of you and the world know, it's World Cup. It's happening, right? That's exciting. And so a few months ago, David had shared with us a unique opportunity to engage in our community during this global event, and so we want to hear more about it, David.
Thanks, Star. Appreciate it. Happy fourth day of the World Cup. If you know me, I'm a huge soccer junkie. I'm living my best life this month. So I serve with CREW, Campus Crusade for Christ, and we've started an initiative called Victory Beyond the Cup. Just want to share a little bit about it. Mostly, our heart is to equip believers in churches to share their faith, open their literal doors, and invite their friends and neighbors into their homes, build relationship, and move towards spiritual conversations. If you think about what we think of when we're talking about Super Bowl parties, and just the impact that it has on society here in the U.S., multiply that by about 40, and that's the World Cup. And so 5 billion people around the world will be watching the games. So whether or not you're a soccer fan, people you know will be engaged within the World Cup. And so first I wanted to just share a little bit about what we're doing and then give you a taste of what I'm talking about. On the table in the back, we've got 5 boxes. One of them's already accounted for, but we are offering free kits to help you have a gathering in your home, to have spiritual conversations with those around you, and just build community, essentially. I've got 4 more that I'm willing to give out to whoever has a heart for that today. My only request is that you talk to me and we'll set up a quick little training on how to use the kit well. Everything is free. We have digital kits online as well. I just want to walk through some photos with you. A few of us yesterday, in fact, held a watch party. The Bristows, the Eddies, our family hosted a group of Afghan refugee kids and just watched the Brazil-Morocco game. These are our children that were, you know, obviously taken from their homeland in a tumultuous time about 5 years ago and are trying to find a sense of home in this country. We just welcome them in One of the things that the Eddies, if you know them, they've been working in the Afghan space for quite some time. One thing they've communicated is we'd love for our Afghan friends to know more Christians aside from just our family. And so, whether you're a soccer fan or not, doesn't really matter. It's just an opportunity where the world brings down their guard a little bit, and it's a chance to bring people together of different generations, genders, interest levels in soccer. And so it doesn't have to feel intimidating. Just come see me if you have any questions. I'd love to share more about it. All right, thank you.
Thank you, David. Thanks for your ministry. It's exciting. There's lots of opportunities for us to engage with our community in creative ways, and I love the idea that you don't have to be necessarily the hugest soccer fan. You can learn as you go, and it's a great way to just have an excuse to invite people over, right, and engage with them. Thank you. All right, well, let's talk about today, what to expect today. We're going to do a little bit more worship, and then we have Pastor John closing out our series, or the sermon series that we've been going over the last few weeks. This will be the last week of Real ID. And then we'll continue worshiping. We'll have a little time we call Giving Back to God, and it's our chance to give back. If you're a first-timer, all we ask is that you fill out that connection card. Let that be your gift to us today, just so we can get to know you better. And it's also a time just to spend a little time in prayer, give back to the Lord and talk to him. Then after that, we'll sing another song. We'll do some fellowship time after service. There's snacks and coffee and good people to meet. And then about 15 minutes after service, we'll invite you if you want to stay and help us tear down. So that's our day. We're excited to worship. Thanks, team, for being here.
Well, if you would stand with us as we continue our worship this morning. Father God, I thank you for family. I thank you for the friends around us, for the people that you bring into our lives. I pray that you would train us and help us to be still and be quiet and open our eyes to see the people around us, to see the people that need your love. We bring you what we have, God. It's not perfect. It's broken. But you can do amazing things with us. And I pray that you would do amazing things with us today and this week. In Jesus' name.
Empty-handed, but not forsaken.
us out of our brokenness into beautiful life, eternal life, and abundant life here on earth. So we're going to praise you today. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior,
sunrises are spectacular. recent days, watching the sunset and the orange and the purple and the yellow stream across the sky, coming around the corner and seeing Mount Rainier out in its glory, in those moments we are reminded, these worshipful moments, we're reminded of your greatness. But it is dimmed by our perspective. It is dimmed by the blurriness of our vision, the numbness of our souls. I long for that numbness, that cloudiness, that haze to be erased. I long for the day that everything will be clear. Not only will I see purpose, and not only will the questions be diminished, but I will be able to stand in your presence and see you face to face as you are, and see you in your greatness and your holiness and your splendor. I pray that this song will take on incredibly new meaning on the other side of my last breath, and I will declare with all of creation your greatness and your awe and your wonder. But here we stand, some of us hunched over, some of us limping, some of us question marks over our heads with battles that we're facing, and so we stand here imperfectly and declare that even in the haze, even in the questions, even in the longing, the loneliness, the hurt, the pain, the sickness, we declare by faith, how great thou art. Would you say that this morning, just between you and God, just say, how great thou art. You are great, God. Right now, as I face this addiction, you're great. Right now, as I face this difficulty, this question mark, you are great. Father, thank you for a few moments of worship this morning to be reminded of your awe and your splendor, of your greatness. And now in the next few, we are going to open your word that has been promised to us is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In the next few minutes, here's what I'm asking, God, is I'm asking that you would help me, all of us in this room, be vulnerable to your touch, your word. May it reach the very inner parts of me and speak and change and move. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I'll do it again because some of you aren't so sure. Good morning. There you go. Glad you guys are here. Some of you are like, I don't know. It's hot. I don't know, guys. It might hit like 84 today. What? The Northwest, that's the worst. You know, some people laugh at us. You do know that, right? But hey, I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to Discovery Community Church, and honored that you're sharing your Sunday morning with us. We have been in a series called Real ID, and we've been talking about who we are, why we are, and how we should live. This is our sixth week, and I think if you were here during our kind of welcome time, Star let you in on that this is the last week in this series, though not the last week in the book of Hebrews, but the last week in this series. So 6 weeks we've been talking about who we are, why we are, and how we should live. About 6 weeks ago, as we started our journey in this great book in the New Testament called the book of Hebrews, that's a clue to find Hebrews in your Bible. So anyway, if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. Pull out your phone, find the book of Hebrews. That's where we are today. But 6 weeks ago when we started out this great this series and this great book, I took you back to a film, I don't know, 30 years ago, a great film, The Lion King. You guys remember Lion King? And I reminded us all of a quote, maybe one of the most memorable quotes in the movie, and that's when Rafiki finds who? Rafiki finds who? Simba. Rafiki finds Simba, and Simba is wandering. Simba is lost, not so sure that he's lost. He's kind of doing the Hakuna Matata thing. You know, you guys remember that little part of it? He's just kind of, but truthfully, he's lost his way. He's lost his purpose. He's lost his meaning. And Rafiki says to him, the problem is you don't even know who you are. And we started this whole series by going back and saying, you know, if you don't know who you are and why you are, it leads to significant problems in your life. Yesterday, my son FaceTimed me from, I don't know, about 1,000 miles away. And he FaceTimed me, and he never FaceTimes me. People FaceTime all the time, but I think they figured I'm just too old for FaceTime. So he FaceTimed me. I thought, oh, this is weird. And I pick it up, and his first words are, "I'm sorry, Dad, to be bothering you. I'm so embarrassed." I'm like, what's happening? And then he shows me he's standing in front of his van with the hood up on the van. His van won't start, and he's holding a little machine, you know, one of those, you know, really nice machines that jumpstart your van. And I was like, wow, that's cool. I've never had one of those. And so I'm kind of amazed that he's got this really cool machine. And he says, "Okay, Dad, I don't know how to hook it up." And I'm like, "What? There's just two wires, man." And he's like, "Should the red go on the black or the red go on the red?" So anyway, I'm like, "Son, this is great." And so I just talked him through. It took like 15 seconds, and we hooked it up, and vroom, his van started. And then just before he hung up, he said, "Dad, thanks so much." He says, "I was just afraid I was going to blow something up." And so I got on the phone, and I just thought, how interesting that you can have stuff. Like, you can have good stuff. You can have expensive stuff. You can have right stuff. But if you don't know why or you don't know how it works, you are in a world of hurt. Amen? And so, to be honest, vans and batteries are not that big of a deal. He wasn't going to blow himself up. But we blow ourselves up sometimes, okay? Because we just don't know who we are, why we are, and how we, and what God expects of you and me. Now, I have discovered that if you and I don't take that time to figure out who we are, everybody else sets that for us. I was thinking this week about my names. You guys thought about your names? You know, you have multiple names. Is that fair enough? Like, I've got the name that my mama gave me. It was on the birth certificate, but... I wish, right? It was worth something, but I got that name. But I got a bunch of other names. And they're not usually names that I've come up with. Like, if I would have come up with a name for me, I would say, "Would you just call me The Rock?" You know, that would be a name I would pick. And some of you don't buy it, but I'm just saying, if I got to pick that, I might pick Han Solo. I would pick something cool, right? But the people around me, they actually pick names for me without my permission. And they assign them to me. And some of them are sweet. You know, I am called Papa, and that's by one of my grandkids calls me Papa. The other grandkid doesn't call me Papa. They just call me Grandpa. And it's interesting, like some of you were in the journey with me when I was getting ready to become a grandfather, and I shared from the stage, like, "I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for people to call." I'm ready now, by the way. I love being a grandfather. But I remember talking on the stage, like, "I don't even know. I don't think I want to be called Grandpa. That seems old." And I was sharing like all these cool options. And somebody said to me after that service, said, "Hey, John, don't worry about it. You don't get to pick. And I just thought about that, you know, the people in my life pick names for me, and they name me because of the identity that they see in me. And so they name me. I'm Papa, I'm Pastor. Some of you have shared my little journey of being a pastor. I never wanted to be called Pastor. For years at Discovery, I kind of pushed away the name Pastor. And it took me years, because everybody was calling me Pastor, it took me years before I would actually sign a card that said Pastor John. I didn't take that on. That was something that people called me. I'm called Dad. I am called Husband. And a bunch of other words that go with husband. And you know what? People name me because they want me to fit a certain identity. Some of you have some nicknames from being a kid. I have nicknames. Some that I don't want to repeat, but I remember, that people gave me, and they gave me the nickname because they wanted to remind me of a failure. They wanted to remind me of a lack or a poverty. Does that make sense? Like, you and I, we carry nicknames because the world around us wants us to take on a certain identity. And here's what I just want to share this morning, guys. If you do not do the hard work of getting back to the unique identity that God has designed you for, the world around you is going to set an identity that you will carry and you will wear, and it will shape your life. The book of Hebrews is an incredible book. It is a book clearly about Jesus. The book opens up with who Jesus is, but the book itself takes off from that moment, and it spends the rest of the book reminding you who you are, who you are designed by God to be. And the reason why we have this in the book of Hebrews is because there's so many pressures around us, so many pressures that tell you who you are. You are your last failure, your big mistake. You are this, you are that. God says, no, I have better things. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about this phrase in the book of Hebrews, that's repeated 12 times. There's better things for you. You are designed by God. Here's some things that let's just remember them this morning. The book of Hebrews says, after it introduces us to Jesus, it says, let's remember that you are the Imago Dei. Most weeks throughout the series, we have been talking about your incredible value. That, yeah, you're broken. Amen. Amen, you're broken. But you're not just broken. You're beautifully broken. I mean, in the eyes of God, though you carry the weight of this world, you are still deeply valuable in the eyes of God. There's another thing the book of Hebrews reminds you of, an identity, a nickname, is that you're saved. You've been redeemed by the work of Jesus and his work on the cross. This changes who you are. We talked a few weeks ago, I think Bobby talked about this. You, as a Jesus follower, are called privileged. You can have confidence in approaching the throne of God. That's what Scripture says is true about you. You are privileged. We talked a few weeks ago that the book of Hebrews says that you are transformed. Because of a metanoia, a transformed heart, you are experiencing a transformed life. Last week we talked about that Scripture reminds us that you are also a brother and a sister. You've not been designed by God to do life alone, but in a community of faith. These are the things that are true about you. These are nicknames. This is your identity as a person of faith. Now here in week 6, we're going to be introduced in the book of Hebrews to maybe my favorite nickname for people of faith. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are going to be introduced to, I think, a favorite nickname, a core identity that God is inviting you to take on. It's true about you. It's been designed by God for you to take on, but very few of us ever fully adopt. Now, a little preview. is that though this series is ending, next week we're going to kick off a four-week series on faith, and we are going to dive into this, probably the most famous chapter in the book of Hebrews, one of the more famous chapters in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to unpack together. This is a really rich chapter. Today, we're going to look at the core of faith, the foundation of faith, this thing that fuels a life that makes a faithful person free, strong, powerful, equipped. So we're not going to read all of Hebrews 11, just read a little bit of it. Hebrews chapter 11, read with me, we're going to start in verse 13. It says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Now again, next week we're going to dive into this, but just for this morning, what is the writer of Hebrews talking about? Well, Hebrews 11 has often been called, kind of in a fun title, has been called the Hall of Faith. So Hebrews 11, you're going to encounter a ton of people that have been really faithful. So I know we're jumping in kind of midway through this, but this is what the writer of Hebrews is referring to. All of these people who've lived these powerful, free lives, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Take note of that. We're going to come back to that. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country that they had left, they would have had opportunity to go return to it, but instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hebrews says there's a unique quality that people of faith have. It's an identity that changes how you live. It changes how you walk. It changes how you cry, how you laugh, how you encounter failures, how you encounter successes and joys. There is a quality that changes everything about your walk. And it's that you are a sojourner. Would you say that with me? Sojourner. Three verses before this, in verse 9, it says, by faith he, it's talking about Abraham, by faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Hebrews says that Abraham took on the identity of a sojourner. Now, this is really cool. Let's look. Can we put that verse back up here? I want to look at this verse together. I want it to sink in. This is super cool. It says, by faith, he became, what was the word? Oh boy, we're not there yet. We're going to get there. He became a sojourner, okay? So Abraham became a sojourner. Watch this. In the land of what? Okay, this is the promised land. Are we familiar? Okay, so check this out. The writer of Hebrews is saying, let's go back to Abraham. He lived this incredible life of faith that transformed not just his life, but generations and generations and generations to come. He became the father of faith because he took on the mantle or the identity of a sojourner where? In the promised land. Now let's remember what the promised land is. The promised land was the physical place that God had promised Abraham and his descendants forever. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was awesome. It had all the stuff. It was such a good place that Abraham's descendants, when they left it and went to Egypt and became enslaved, they were enslaved for 400 years. Every day in slavery, they would say to their kids and family members, don't worry, one day we're going to be out of slavery. One day we're not going to have this weight on our backs, and God's going to take us back to the promised land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the place that God has given us. It's the place we deserve. Watch this. Abraham's already there. He's living in the promised land. The writer Hebrews says, but watch how Abraham lived in the promised land. He didn't pour a foundation. He didn't build a house. He didn't make cities. He didn't say, this is my house. Abraham said, no, even in the promised land, I'm going to live in a tent. Yeah, this is the promised land, but this isn't my home. Verse 10. He was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Webster says sojourner is a temporary resident. Sojourner is a temporary resident. One of the definitions I found on the internet that I loved, it says, sojourners are people on the move, temporary residents in a land not their own. Abraham said, I'm not designed for this place. This isn't my home. I have another place that I'm looking forward to. It's a place called heaven. Sojourners are designed for and dreaming for and working for eternity, not here. This place has nothing that I need. This place has nothing that I want. What they say about me, what they give to me, what they sell to me, what I could possibly build, hold on to, maintain, is absolutely nothing in comparison to the place that God has carved out for me. Do you know that you have been made for eternity? The book of Ecclesiastes says eternity has been pressed on your soul. Most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world, watch this, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. I mean, the key characteristic of the Christian life is that you have an eternity in front of you. And if this captivates your heart, it changes how you live today. Amen? It changes how you and I live. It fuels us. It empowers us. I'm going to share with you some qualities about the sojourners. Number one, sojourners have a certain hope. The opening of Hebrews 11 starts this way. Faith is confidence in what we, everybody, we see. Confidence in what we what? In what we hope for. And assurance about what we do not see. Men and women of faith have a hope that cannot be diminished. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if only for this life we have hope, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. What's he talking about? He's talking about something that has infected us in 2026. In 2026, many of us think, man, if I'm doing faith right, things are going to be good today. I mean, I encounter this all the time. In tears, someone will say to me, Pastor, I tried to be such a mom of faith, but my children, they're so far away. I've been trying to take such steps of faith, and yet I still don't have a job. I'm striving right now to be a person of faith, and I don't have a place to live. I'm striving right now to be a person of faith, and things are going bad at work. I thought that if I was a person of faith, I would have a little bit of easier go. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Verse 20 in 1 Corinthians 15 says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul says, here's the cool thing, is Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, on the third day he rose again. And he rose again, not just for himself to show off like, man, I've had victory over sin and death. He shows off that you now can have the same thing. That like you are headed in the same direction. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. He is just the first of many, 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 many men and women who are going to step into eternity. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for who? For who? Who's you? It's me. Verse 3 in John 14, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. And I'm going to take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You have hope, not a hope in this world. Your job may get better. It may get worse. Only Elizabeth wrote that down in the whole room. I was watching. She's the only one that wrote that down. Your job may get better, and your job may get what? Worse. But my hope is not in that. My hope, my certain hope, is that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 1. He says, that place is so amazing, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Can you believe he said that? He's like, man, I am so fixated on this hope, I actually can't wait. I think today in 2026, we have some really sad, unfortunate perspectives of heaven that are detrimental to us. A bunch of us think that heaven's just going to be a place of clouds and like harps, babies with wings. Lies. You know what heaven's going to be? Heaven's the place where you are going to be fully known. And you will know fully. You know that constant fuzz, the question marks, the doubts, the confusion? Heaven will be a place where all that is evaporated. And I don't just mean like about what kind of work you should have, decisions you should make. I mean God himself will no longer be fuzzy to you. Like you will see him face to face. You will know him fully and he will fully know you. You know, heaven's going to be a place where you will have a job. Did you know that? Some of you are bummed out by hearing that. And the reason you're bummed out is that when you hear job, you think about the kind of job you have now where you're like, I go to this thing and I do this thing and I don't know if I get anything done. I don't know if it's worth it. It's exhausting. Does it make a difference? I want you to know that when you get to heaven, there's actually a job for you that's been designed for you by God that will fulfill and fit your unique design. Like you're gonna rule, the New Testament says. You're gonna have things that God's gonna give you that make sense. Anybody, does that speak to anybody? Like you're gonna do stuff that's gonna make sense. Heaven is gonna be a place where every tear will be dried. Like the pains and the ache of this world, And when I say that, I'm just encapsulating just a whole bucket of pain. It will be gone. You will have a body. You won't float. It will be a heavenly body that will be perfect. It's going to be an amazing place. That's why Paul says, for me, I have this hope. For me to live is Christ. Die is gain. And I'm afraid that in 2026, too many of us try to use faith for this world. And if that's the case, we're the most to be pitied. So I want you to know there is an incredible thing in front of you and me. Sojourners have a certain hope. Number two, sojourners courageously serve here. I asked you a few minutes ago to hang on to a verse. I want to come back and look at it. It said in Hebrews 11:13, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Again, sort of on that similar theme, we use faith to escape death. Ultimate death or the effects of death. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that faith is something we use to face death. Not to escape it, not to avoid it, but to go right through it. Courageously walk through the difficult things in life. Men and women with a vision for the future, with a vision for heaven, knowing that God has carved a place out for them, they live different. And the best picture of this is found in John 13. I'm going to give you a little background on John 13. I think some of you probably already know. For me, John 13 is the beginning of Jesus' steps to the cross. So Jesus, on a Thursday night, after dinner, with his guys, it's called the Last Supper, they'll go to a garden, and the garden they will pray. Jesus will pray, and he'll sweat drops of blood. It'll be an intense time of prayer. At the end of the prayer time, the prayer time will be like invaded by chains and soldiers. They will arrest Jesus. He'll be hauled off throughout the night, a fake, unfair trial. They will beat him by early morning, and by mid-morning, they will hang Jesus on a cross. He'll be crucified. This all begins with a small gathering at a table. Jesus' disciples are gathered there, and John records the night. He records the steps. And just before he records all the things that I told you, he begins it this way. In John chapter 13, starting in verse 3, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had handed all things over to him, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, said, nuh-uh, not today, Satan, and chilled. Some of you are like, what version is this? John says that Jesus knew that he was just traveling here. He's a sojourner. It was clear for him where he's going, that he's going to go back to the Father. And in view of all this, verse 4, he gets up from supper and laid his outer garments aside, and he, watch this, took a towel and tied it around himself. When a man or a woman recognizes that they're headed to heaven, they have courage to serve God, serve heaven in heaven ways, in hell on earth. That's what Jesus did. I'm headed to heaven. Right now, God wants me to put the towel of service on. And I'm going to face humility, difficulty. I'm going to face persecution. I'm going to face the unknown. I'm going to do it with a heart of service. Man, it changes you when you recognize that you are a citizen of heaven. Colossians 3, Paul writes it this way. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Isn't that good? Some of you, you know you got to face some stuff this week. You should write down Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know. You got this hope. You know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you are serving. You're just getting ready. mean, on the other side of my last breath, I want to hear what Jesus says in Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. How should you live today if you're a citizen of heaven? If this isn't your home, this isn't your place, if your identity is not in what you can own, consume, hold on to, your identity is not in what they say, but if your identity is that you are eternal and you're headed for your eternal home, how should you live today? Jesus says, take the towel of service. Number three, sojourners, bring others too. I'll leave that up there just for a minute. Sojourners, bring others too. If you are truly captivated, if you are truly captivated by heaven, you are truly captivated by this notion that is an incredible place. And not only are you looking forward to it, you begin to say to yourself, I don't want anybody else to miss it. I certainly don't want my spouse to miss it. I certainly don't want my kids to miss it. I don't want my friends, my teammates, my students. I don't want my neighbors to miss it. This is what every one of us are designed for. And if what Jesus said is true in John 14, Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If Jesus said there's only one way into eternity, and that's through him, then I want other men and women to meet him. Amen? There's nothing to be ashamed of. You're headed to heaven. And you ought to bring a bunch of people with you. Amen? Nobody should be left behind. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus has given us a promise that when you invite him into your life, his Holy Spirit comes in and dwells you, and you receive power. But I also think something else was happening in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Stick with me. Ready? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the disciples are standing on top of the hill. And you know who they're looking at? The resurrected Jesus. They're looking at Jesus in his resurrected heavenly body. He is standing there. They're looking at eternity face to face. In fact, just after he says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to leave planet Earth, and he's going to go to heaven. They're going to be standing there going, whoa, this is real. I think in Acts 1:8, Jesus is saying two things. One, there is the Holy Spirit that's going to indwell you. But secondly, you have now been captivated by heaven. You're now captivated by the reality of heaven itself. You are going to have a hard time keeping it to yourself. Amen? I just think a ton of us in 2026 have lost a vision for heaven. And we've settled for lesser dreams and a smaller, insignificant identity. You're a Jesus person. There's a home for you. God's designed you for eternity. Joyfully bring other people with you. And the last one, sojourners, simply endure. Two chapters later in Hebrews chapter 13, it says here, we do not have an enduring city. We are looking for the city that is to come. Here, we do not have an enduring city. Amen to that. I mean, things here fall apart. Vans stop running, amen? Cars stop working. Houses that we build crumble. Roofs leak. Pipes break. Technology changes. Jobs go away. Companies close. Schools' funding gets shut down. My body stops working. It gets harder to breathe. My heart doesn't work the way it used to. People I trusted stop being so trustworthy. We don't have an enduring city here. We do there. And so we endure. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, look only at Jesus, the originator and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Like, he hated the in-between. But now he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See what Hebrews is calling you and I to do? Do you know where you're going? Verse 3, so consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You are a citizen of another country. You are a sojourner. That's God's designed identity for you. But for many of us, it just lays on the floor like a discarded backpack. And the New Testament is inviting you to dust it off and to joyfully pick it up and say, I, treasured and valuable, saved and privileged, transformed brother and sister, I am also a sojourner here. I'm on my way to the place God has designed me for. And so I won't quit. I'm going to invite you just to take a minute with me and bow. As I'm talking this morning, I'm trusting that somewhere along the line, God has spoken to you through his word. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 17, Jesus, as he's praying for us, he says, now this is eternal life, that you may know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Friend, the beginning of this eternal perspective is surrendering your life to Jesus. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What he's clearly saying is that this eternal perspective is not found by positive self-talk. It's not discovered by finding the silver lining. Having and holding on to this identity as a a sojourner is not something that you learn or you build the right habits. It all begins by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. So this morning, if this whole topic struck a nerve and you're like, man, I need this eternal perspective because I'm picking up and I'm carrying these nicknames and the identity that everybody else has for me. Friend, I just want to say it starts with turning to Jesus. So right here, while Abby's playing the piano, you can simply say, Jesus, will you save me? Jesus, will you save me? Pray that with me. Just Jesus, will you save me? Father, many of us in this room have asked you to save us. So many years ago, we were saved. We've dropped the backpack. By faith, Abraham in the land of promise, the book of Hebrews says, became a sojourner. Made a decision to pick up and carry the identity, one of the core identities that people of faith carry. So, Father, I pray this morning in this room that you fan into flame an eternal perspective. May we talk different. May we walk different. May we cry and grieve different. May we fight different. May we laugh different. May we live as sojourners, men and women who are merely traveling on our way to our citizenship. In Jesus, we moment, we're going to pass some baskets. This is our giving back to God time. As Star mentioned earlier, please drop your connection card in. This is a great time to write down a prayer request, or if you prayed with me this morning and said, Jesus, will you save me? You can just write down, I prayed with you, John, and I want to be on your team. We'll talk about some next steps. You're going to watch, some people will give financially. This is an important part of worship, is to give and to live generously. But if you're guests with us, no money. If this becomes your home, we would encourage you to live generously like we do. That's what we do as a family here. But as a guest, no money, okay? And after the baskets pass, the worship team is going to invite you to join and worship. The Star is going to come up and share a few closing things. And so thank you so much for being here this morning. God bless you. Christ, my living hope.
that was good. Go ahead and have a seat just for a minute. Just want to give you guys a couple last closing reminders. First, just thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Was this a good way to get a new week started? Yeah? Good job. You did it. You started off right. Well, I want to remind you of a couple things. We have a baptism, June 28th. So if you're interested or you know someone that's interested, write that on your connection card. You can see Bobby or John if you have any questions about that. And then also, a couple weeks ago, we took a survey about second service. We want to know your thoughts about us potentially opening up to a second service. If you have not had a chance to do that survey, we are opening up that survey again just for a limited time today, and it'll close out Monday at 2 p.m. There's a couple ways you can do it. We would prefer, ideally, if you are cool with a QR code, that you scan that. You can do it right now, you guys. I won't take it personally. Get your phones out, scan that QR code, and we just have a couple questions about if you are open to a second service, which one you might go to, things like that. We just kind of want to get a lay of the land. If you don't feel comfortable with the QR code, we do have a few copies of on paper. And Jason has those in this lovely yellow shirt right here. He's waving the surveys. And we would love for you to fill that out. I know that I said that you have Monday till 2, and that is true. But you know how it is. You leave this place, and you get busy with work and all that, and you'll forget. So just do it right now. We're going to hang out. We're going to have coffee. We're going to eat some muffins. We would love for you to just take a minute on your phone or with Jason and fill those surveys out. Also, if you do fill one out, they need to go straight back to Jason right now. So that's my little plug on the surveys, okay? Also, baptisms, don't forget. We want as many people to be here so we can celebrate as a family. Other than that, we get to do some fellowship time now, guys, and have some snacks. And I just want you to know that we are praying for you this week, and we hope it's a great one. See you next Sunday for Father's Day.